I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny live on the Fan. Danny is in our Half Street studios in the Navy Yard back in D.C. I am on the road in Milwaukee. So, Danny, greetings from American Family Field, home of the Brewers and home of Game 1 of the NLCS tonight. I'll be with you until 4 o'clock in the Beltway Blitz getting ready for Monday Night Football. And then I will step away to go handle some Major League Baseball responsibilities. I'm doing pre and post on the field for MLB Network Radio tonight for Game 1. So I'll be multitasking, watching the Commanders while I'm in the ballpark checking out Dodgers-Brewers tonight.
Yeah, how are you going to do that? Like, what's the protocol? Is it like phone or laptop kind of pulled up, trying to keep score of the game, figure out what's going on there, but also watching the thing that's our bread and butter, the local foosball boys? What are you going to do?
That is a great question. I will be, let's keep this a secret between you, me, and whoever's listening back in D.C.,
all right,
prioritizing, obviously, watching the Commanders on my computer. So I'm in a broadcast booth. TBS has the call tonight, so they're directly next to me. I think Brian Anderson's probably going to be calling the game. It's like I'm one booth over here right behind home plate. I posted a picture and a video at Grant H. Paulson if you guys want to see American Family Field, which, by the way, and then there were just three for your boy ballparks.
Cross it off the list then.
There's only three that I haven't been to now in the big league, so I'm fired up about that. But my plan is I'll have my laptop up. I'm sitting here, kind of open booth, so I'll watch the game in front of me. I got to keep score and lock in a little bit. But, yeah, I'm going to be watching on, you know, YouTube TV or whatever with the technology now. Not too bad. So probably won't be firing off quite as many tweets and takes throughout the game as I normally do, but there's going to be some of those. Don't you worry about that. And it's nice because both games are kind of simultaneous, so I'm not going down on the field probably until close to the end of Commanders-Bears for postgame here. So I think I'll get to watch and lock in. And then obviously after the game, I'll go back and dive even deeper in before tomorrow when I'm with you again from the ballpark ahead of game two here at the NLCS. So fear not, you will get your normal Grant and Danny coverage. But yeah, what a day in sport. What a day in D.C. for the Commanders and the Bears. And what a golden opportunity, Danny, for Washington in the NFC East with the Eagles just not looking like the power they were supposed to. The Cowboys losing to the Carolina Panthers. The Giants certainly improved from the beginning of the year, but they got a huge hole to dig out of. That division just kind of staring at you right now saying, do you want to take me or no?
Should we be winning this division?
Let's take advantage of a great chance tonight to get another big win for Washington.
Yeah, so this is one of those tipping point type of games, right? We talked about it last week, and I think the same holds true here. 4-2 is dramatically different. This kind of analysis available from 2 to 6:30 every day. 4-2, dramatically different than 3-3 with yet another NFC loss. That would be their third this year were they to drop this one here in primetime. But if you're 4-2, so are the Eagles. Those matchups are, you know, a couple months ahead now in December. But you would go a long way towards, you know, as the C's kind of part here, A, in the division, but B, in the NFC. It's a crowded field in the NFC, more so than the AFC. The contenders are dropping like flies in the AFC, right? Baltimore can't get right. Out west, you know, Kansas City looks frisky. All of a sudden, they look like they're pretty good. But the Chargers are thoroughly banged up. Barely squeaking by Miami. But in the NFC, the entire NFC West minus Arizona is 4-2. You look at the NFC North, we feel pretty good about Detroit. Chicago's right there at 2-2, chasing you down. They've already had their early bye week. And, you know, Dallas, of course, can't get right. But Philadelphia, you know, is going to win enough games to be in playoff contention. So it's, the opportunity is right there for you. You got to harvest your nuts, Eddie Jordan style. This is a huge chance for them to kind of put the stamp on it. We could do the thing where, yeah, they messed around at the beginning of the season, weren't really themselves. Daniels got injured. We could blink, and they could be 7-2 just like last year, or 6-3, something close to it, right? And it would start with a kind of a stamp on in a game that you're favored to win at home.
Yeah, just handle your business. Just go out and play a normal football game where you take advantage of the things the Bears are really bad at. This is a terrible defensive team that can't stop the run. Now, they're going to get three starters back in this game, and they're going to be better than they've been defensively, and they will be more effective than they've been at stopping the run. But you can go from 32nd maybe to 20th or 23rd. There's no reason Washington can't move the ball tonight on the ground, and there's no reason this shouldn't be a significant Jacory Kroski-Merritt game. I know Chris Rodriguez has missed some practice time, and his status is somewhat in question. Bill's coming off of his highest carry share and his highest play percentage that he's had all season. I think the Faders could go up on that. There's also some talk. I was monitoring this all day yesterday, Danny, as I was posting up here in Milwaukee to watch all the NFL games, of Deebo Samuel's status, where he is questionable. I don't know if they're calling this a game-time decision or how they're phrasing it. I don't actually think there's any chance he misses this game. Do you? I mean, to me, this feels like they are monitoring his practice load, as they do with Laremy Tunsil, as they do with Zach Ertz. I mean, there's never been seemingly a team that forces guys to practice at a lower rate than this group, and I have no problem with that. But I think that's primarily what's happening here. You don't have McLaurin, you don't have Noah Brown, so you're being extra careful with Deebo, and you can list them questionable and say, let's just make sure everything's fine before the game and everything checks out okay. But I would be shocked if he didn't go. And if he didn't go, by the way, then I feel differently about the whole game, because now who are your actual weapons to do anything in the passing game? But I view that as a very, very slim chance. To me, not only will he play, he will look like Deebo Samuel. He will look nothing like a guy who's been hindered this week at practice.
So it always concerns me when there's, you know, any kind of injury or any kind of limitation other than the normal Dan Quinn rest day for anybody that's been in the league for more than an hour and a half. But the fact is, he is banged up, and he's got a history of being banged up, right? So if this is guy that plays 17 games per year and is always himself, and the reason he was available and fell out of favor coming from San Francisco was he had an injury, he had pneumonia, wasn't quite in shape, wasn't himself, and wasn't the guy that was this unique weapon wrecking ball star, quite frankly, one of the uncoverable players in the league who can beat you 17,000 different ways. He was available for not that much, for a fifth round pick, but to come over here and be the engine for this offense. So because of his import, I've got some concern on the meter if we're doing the meter, but it's not high. It's probably really close to where you are. I expect him to play. And I expect him to be himself. But still, it's got me thinking not just for tonight, but the rest of the year, right, where he's become indispensable. What happens if and when he gets banged up, which he has pretty much every year for the last half decade?
Well, that's a reality. I mean, there's no denying that this guy is such a violent physical player with the football. I go back to the home game against the Raiders a few weeks ago, if you remember, when he was mic'd up. And he had a chance to get out of bounds with a first down. And he basically chose to stay in bounds and turn it upfield and to try to run someone over. And there was a big, big collision. And then he's mic'd up after the game. And someone was basically saying, like, Deebo, don't do that. Like, just get out of bounds. He's like, oh, no, no, no. You don't know me very well. Like, that, I don't just get out of bounds. There's no just get out of bounds with me. That's how he plays the game. That's how he lives. You know, the way he lives is not for everybody, to quote Joe Witt. He seeks out that contact. But what comes with that, Danny? He's constantly, always going to be nicked and banged up and questionable and probable. And he's always going to have that letter next to his name in fantasy football. That's just the player he is. So, yeah, I agree with you. There maybe is some, over the long haul here, some sustainability questions, especially with the fact that he's playing more. He's getting the football more. He's being targeted more often than he was in San Fran. It's not like they're, you know, thinking about Week 16 and 17 right now with the heavy usage because McLaurin and Noah Brown being out, his importance has gone up, and they're turning up the heat on using Deebo a little bit. So that's probably fair. And maybe I'm not considering enough the possibility either, Danny, that Deebo Samuel in a game tonight, while playing, for me, seems like, you know, complete lock. Maybe you aren't 100%, or maybe you do re-aggravate or tweak something. And I'm not really thinking about that part. Like, yeah, he's going to be out there. Yeah, he's going to play. But if he's favoring it a little bit, or if something small happens, is he more at risk to miss a series or two than someone else based on whatever treatment he was getting all week? I guess that's possible. But you said something important. He is indispensable. I mean, he is right now, outside of Jaden Daniels. And I still think, even though Mariota played really well for 2 weeks, Daniels, because of the nature of the position and the ceiling when he's at his best, is their most valuable, irreplaceable commodity. Who else on this team would you say, non-Daniels division, is more important than Deebo Samuel right now? Especially in a world without McLaurin and Noah Brown.
And that's what it is. It's the context, right? If you have McLaurin and Brown, and Austin Eckler was still healthy, you go, all right, I'll get away with not having Deebo for a week, because they did it all last year, and we're pretty good. Especially, you know, for 90% of the season or whatever, when Daniels didn't have broken ribs. So you could get away with it, and you could even do pretty well. But for an extended period of time, especially without those guys, no way. I mean, you just go back to the Chargers game for proof positive. Of the roughly 20 targets, half of them went to Deebo. That's not hyperbolic. Half of the catches on the game were Deebo. Everyone else had a one or maybe a two next to them. There's no one else at this point. So, yeah, he is absolutely indispensable. A, for his production. B, for the idea of his production. Again, I am such a huge subscriber to this. The threat of something is almost as important as the actual something, right? Obviously, the yards and touchdowns and catches and things are paramount, but defenses are very aware of that, right? When I coach my 7 and 8 year olds, I always have to tell them, "Hey, look, remember, look where the two fast kids are. If they're looking to get them the ball, it's that simple. That concept is not foreign, especially at the professional level. Everybody knows where that dude is lining up and doing." And half the time it's eye candy, and the times it's not, he's getting the football.
He is being targeted right now on 30% of their passing attempts, which is top five at the wide receiver position in the entire NFL. To just give you an idea of his significance to the offense and his importance as we get into play tonight. I do feel really good about this game, though, and as kind of is always the case, frankly, Danny, I feel a lot better about Washington's offense in this matchup with the Bears' defense, which has been putrid, than I do Washington's defense against the Ben Johnson-led Bears offense. But there's no reason their defense shouldn't be able to make a play or two either. Some of what's going their way here, as far as the Bears' offense being on the field, they're going to be breaking in an undrafted free agent left tackle in this game. You seen this?
Yes.
They're starting a UDFA at left tackle. I mean, if that doesn't get your mouth watering, if you're Von Miller and Dorrance Armstrong, I don't know what will. And the Bears just haven't been able to run the ball at all. Now, they're coming off of a bye, so that's beneficial. They're more rested, clearly. And that extra week to prepare maybe allowed them to self-scout and figure some things out in the running game. But if you notice, the betting line is actually growing in Washington's favor as we get closer and closer. I saw it at 3.5 at one point, look ahead. Then it was 4.5. Now it's 5.5 that they're favored by and they're laying at home tonight. There is an expectation with the people that have all the inside information that as we get closer to kickoff, the Commanders are getting more and more favorable here. And I kind of feel that. I think they're going to be able to move the ball seemingly with ease, even without McLaurin and Noah Brown. And it's funny, with all the injuries they've had on offense, have you ever once gone into a game yet where you're like, ah, they just don't have enough weapons. I don't like this offense. Maybe it's partially their matchups. But with the Raiders, you know, week by week here, when Mariota's playing in Atlanta, you're like, their offense will be fine. That's a great testament to Cliff Kingsbury.
I think so, too. Yeah, that's to me, he's the constant. He's the consistent, right? It's been a rotating cast of characters. Some, you don't know if a guy can handle the full workload in JCM's case, and now, you know, maybe we feel like he can. Other times it's been McLaurin's injury. Other times it's been, you know, the quarterback changes. Hasn't mattered. They have been productive, relatively, on offense. And they haven't hit on all cylinders yet, and they're still towards the top of the league in most categories. So that's the area you feel good about. A design, putting guys in good spots, et cetera, being able to move the football against a Bears defense that, you know, coming off their bye week, had a chance to self-scout. You're going to see some different stuff. So even if your initial, and this is where I like, this to me is where coaches make their money. Yeah, that first 15 script where we know you, you know us, let's you know, roll out the chess pieces and see who does better early on. It's those in-game, on-the-fly, all right, you know what they're doing now? We didn't know they would do this because they hadn't shown it yet. Well, now we know. Do we have a counter for it? Can we execute that? Can we get stuff in on time? Can we not panic? Are we going to be stubborn and stick to some plan that we're sure is going to work at some point? Think of that New Orleans game last year, right, where they decided we can run Brian Robinson this game, despite all the evidence that said they couldn't. Whatever it was, 20 carries for 40 yards, and like 11 of them came on a lateral that was really a pass. They couldn't run the ball at all, but they were sure that they could, and they escaped with their lives in that game. To me, where coaches really earn it is when the plan goes awry, when you get punched in the mouth. So I expect Chicago to probably try some different stuff, because if you're just beating your head against the wall going, "Oh, eventually we'll stop the run. It won't be the worst thing of all time. We'll just keep doing what we're doing," which lets over 6 yards per carry against against opposing offenses. You'd think they might try a few different things. So what are you going to do to counterpunch that?
If they could get out to a lead, and Chicago can't really run it as we talked about, but then you make them one-dimensional in the sense that you know what's coming and you can adjust and kind of call plays accordingly if you're Joe Witt, that's where I think you can force Caleb Williams into some bad decisions. Because oddly enough, for all of the off-target throws last year and to some extent this year, he's improved in that area. His interception totals have been pretty low. I mean, he and Jaden Daniels are 2 of 5 quarterbacks 20 games into their career ever with over 25 touchdowns and 10 or fewer picks. But he will put the ball in harm's way on obvious passing downs. You know, if you can pressure him and get him off his mark and get him moving around and kind of off schedule where he is so dangerous, so many lethal plays. He also makes some boneheaded plays as well. But that's going to be the key, I think, early is just getting on the board and then having the Bears chase this game a little bit. I worry about Roma Dunze, who scored a touchdown in all 4 of Chicago's games.
He is good,
He's
man.
On an 85-catch pace for like 1,200 yards. He's basically having a good Terry McLaurin season that we've gotten used to over the last 6 years here. He's like a top half the league, number one wide receiver. I'm not really sure what their plan's going to be to defend him. We'll talk about that coming up at 3 o'clock next hour. But that's one of the big things I am worried about in this game. And something that all of our listeners should be worried about in this game is a bet that we have here in studio. It's not even really a bet as much as a challenge or basically a I annoy you guys by saying the name Ben Johnson, so you're trying to take it away from me. A bet would mean that we are both confident on our sides of it. But Danny, let the people know what's at stake tonight. Ben Johnson alert style as we get ready for Monday Night Football.
So this, yeah.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
So this is huge. Granover talks about Ben Johnson before the show, during the show, after the show, in text. They'll hand it off for 2.5 yards, and it's the greatest run in the history of mankind, and everybody has to hear about it all the time.
Oh, come on.
And it's too much. So our listener, Josh Upper Marlboro, came up with the idea that if they don't get the paltry total of 350 yards, which more than a dozen teams average and Washington gives up on a weekly basis, because their secondary is terrible and everybody can throw on them. If they don't give up 350 yards, Grant has to refer to him in some other kind of nomenclature, the coach from Chicago or the guy that said Washington's a bunch of basketball guys or the immature twerp that canceled his interview while the team was on the plane to go interview him. You know, the guy that probably shouldn't be a head coach. It's in the Josh McDaniel tier. He can't say his name anymore. If he goes over, which, you know, again, should happen and would happen most nights, then I guess it's free reign. That's the flip side of it is I'm not really sure. Like, do you get to do it extra? You know what I mean? Because you were going to do it as much as you want. That's what I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. There is no bet. It's basically just you guys all decided and ganged up against me as a challenge that if it happens, then I don't get to do it anymore. There's no real benefit for me. It's
right,
a one-sided,
no
lopsided.
Yeah, it's like that Chris Russell. Like, if they complete a forward pass, I'll walk to Kentucky kind of bet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I've just been basically challenged because you guys are annoyed by this. Now, I will say I don't think they'll get to 350 because it isn't necessarily a paltry total. It is very difficult, right? You're talking about fringe top 10 in the league average. And with kick returns as long as they are now and field goal kickers kicking from where they do now, yards per game are way down in the National Football League just generally. And as it were, like, you get to 350 10 years ago, that was pretty common. It just doesn't happen in as many games now. I wanted to go yards per play, but we're fine. We're fine. This is going to be fun. Everyone's going to have a good time. Hopefully the Commanders win. Hopefully the Bears get to 351 yards so that I can say Ben Johnson's name a bunch of times moving forward with each trick play, with each really impressive design and scheme that he puts together for Chicago is one of my favorite play designers. But yeah, I guess just the fact that I appreciate good offense and good offensive design is too much for some people, Danny, that they get very annoyed by the Ben Johnson alert that Darius has ready all day long.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
And to be clear, for the remainder of the campaign, until the playoffs start, you will not hear that alert again if they go 349 or fewer today.
349 a hook, baby. Here we go.
So the countdown will be on.
I was sitting there pumping my fist during big Chicago kick returns. My wife will be baffled. Like, why are you? They got great field position. I'm like, oh, I know they do.
Every time they return a kick past the 30, the chances drop.
Yeah,
you know, it's like watching
yards.
The leg of the parlay. I mean, I'm looking for some Tressway punts pinned inside the 5. That way, they could go on, you know, 50-yard drives and still not get points. That's probably the perfect scenario for me.
That's the idea.
It's like landing the plane on the smallest runway ever. I need the Bears to not score very much, but to amass as many yards. Or how about like 3 Caleb Williams red zone turnovers after 74-yard drives? Now we're cooking with grease.
Now it's perfect. That's what you want. 10 plays, 74
exactly.
Yards, ends in a fumble.
Speaking of coaches who theoretically put together strong offenses, Brian Callahan with Joe Burrow did that in Cincinnati and got a head coaching job with the Titans. He no longer has that job. He was fired right before we went on the air by Tennessee. I want to get into that next. Plus, we will dive into this Monday night matchup, the Commanders and the Bears, to try to figure out who's going to eat, who do we like most on each side of the ball to have big games for Washington. We will do that as soon as we return. Monday night football tonight. It is a game day on 106.7 The Fan. We've also got Caps tickets for you ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan on this Monday, taking you up to Monday Night Football, a game day G&D on The Fan. Danny is in our Half Street Navy Yard studios. I am hanging out in Milwaukee at American Family Field, where I'm getting ready for an NLCS assignment with MLB Network Radio, but we will take you up to pregame and then eventually NFL football tonight with the Commanders and the Chicago Bears getting ready to lock horns at Northwest Stadium. Actually got a couple pictures sent over my way from people that are already in line, in traffic trying to get into the stadium because, you know, they don't put the gates up just yet over the last hour or so. So the energy in town, Danny, is awesome. People are ready for prime time and a chance to get a very important win and a 4-2 start for Washington.
Raring to go. It is. They're pushing this blackout hard because they're going to wear the Arizona State alternates tonight. They want everybody to wear like a black T-shirt or whatever jerseys you got. And so they'll do some of the cool laser light stuff, try to make it as good a home environment as you can at that terrible stadium. But they're going to do everything they possibly can, which I appreciate. But it's going to be strange, to be honest with you, right? Because the Bears' primary color looks a lot like that, especially when it pops on television. So, but they're doing this bit, and I hope the atmosphere is really, really good. And team hasn't gotten off to a good start in most of these games, so it'd be nice to get out to one of those leads and have the crowd rocking and kind of make it that high pressure environment.
Yeah, they've won at home twice by 15 or more now, and they roll at home generally. I think they're 9-2 in their last 11 over at Northwest Stadium. You mentioned the black unis. They obviously wore those against the Bears in the Hail Mary game that Jaden Daniels found Noah Brown on the deflection on last year. And so I think in a way to troll Chicago, if nothing else, this will be the lone time this season that they wear those. But under the lights with the shiny helmets, a black helmet with the glare, it's actually a really, really cool look for a night game, I think. And the blackout idea is awesome. You kind of kick it college football and tell everyone to rock the same color, which I think is a really, really good deal. The energy is going to be great. They got a bunch of, this is a Jason Wright word here, activations
lined
up over at the stadium as well. So should be some pizzazz and some good intensity for this one. Wanted to real quick hit a story out of the NFL. We'll get back to the Commanders in a second, but this broke right before we got on the air. And that is the firing by the Tennessee Titans of Brian Callahan. Callahan is the son of Bill Callahan, who was a former offensive line coach here in Washington, who took over as the interim head coach when Jay Gruden, who joins the program today at 5 o'clock, got fired back in his final season. Callahan dismissed by the Titans today, Danny, after a 1-5 start. Only the Jets at 0-6 have a worse record than Tennessee. And frankly, the Titans should be 1-5. I think they might be the worst team in the NFL. The win they got over the Arizona Cardinals, pretty inexplicable. And when you look back at it, was just kind of insanity. Like, the Cardinals made so many terrible,
it was their implosion, yeah,
losing plays. But the Titans are the worst offense in the league. They've hired this offensive-minded head coach who was supposed to help get their number one pick quarterback, Cam Ward, going and off to a fast start in his career. That hasn't happened. And now, after just 23 games as an NFL head coach, he's been fired. 4-19 is his record in Tennessee, and they dismiss him a quarter way through his second season.
So this is one of those, what's the standard? What's the criteria? What are you trying to do, right? Like, I think of with the Wizards. They're clearly rebuilding. So Brian Keefe should not be judged based on wins and losses. Then what is the criteria? And that's, I think, a little bit more nebulous and harder. You've got your internal metrics where you're going, did Bilal Coulibaly turn into a gifted offensive small forward? Does Trey Johnson look the part after a few months? You know, is Bob Carrington a good NBA point guard or not? Whatever you're trying to figure out, that's that. This is not a winning roster. This is not a roster that they should probably be 3-2 right now, but Brian Callahan can't get timeouts right or something like that. I mean, he was saddled with something pretty poor. But at the same time, I think you said it, you can't be at the back of the NFL in offense, even without great personnel. And they don't have great personnel on this offense. It's a lot of Tony Pollard, it's Calvin Ridley, names that you recognize, but nobody special. I don't really think they've got great playmakers, but there's got to be some more ingenuity and growth and design and ways you kind of go, damn, they're tough to play against, or they're tough to play. They're frisky. They've got some kind of stamp, some kind of identity. It's a mess. I mean, what's happened over the last three seasons there in Tennessee, not to get too far into the weeds, we're not doing national radio here, but it was...
Well, before you get into that, I want to react to something you said really quickly, before you go into kind of how they've gotten here as a dysfunctional organization. But to that point, I do think they should be a lot better than they are. This is not an easy way to judge or evaluate, like this eye test thing, right? But like, here's the example I'll give you. When you watch the Jets right now, how often do you say that's a well-coached team? How often do you see a sequence like right before the half yesterday where you go, what are they doing? Is this coaching staff up to NFL caliber? Don't you feel that a lot with the Jets this year? I think you feel that with the Titans too, Danny, where you watch it and you go, you just named a couple of guys that are decent little NFL players. You have a number one overall pick. just like last year when Washington gets someone at two or the Bears get someone at one. It shouldn't be this bad. Like, this is really, really, really gross offensively with an offensive-minded coach. Now, I wouldn't have fired the guy, but as you're about to get into, I don't know if he should even be their coach right now because they downgraded pretty intensely with their decision-making over the last couple of years. But I don't think it's as simple as, like, it's not a very good offense. It's not a very good team. They're not supposed to be that good. Maybe. But as at 0-6, which is effectively what they've earned this season, they're so bad that I think it's pretty clear to me he ain't it right now. There might be a time in his career where he's got a chance to be a really good head coach, but this was ugly, and it should have been better with the talent they had.
Yeah, we might disagree there. I don't know how much better you could have. Are they
like
2-4?
Not a joke. Like have a chance most weeks.
Yeah, so
to compete,
they've downgraded consistently. And it's their own making. So in December of 22, they fired John Robinson, right, who was their old GM. So they had multiple years with double-digit wins. They were a pain in the butt in the AFC. A couple down years happened. So then January 24, after Mike Vrabel, who won the previous power struggle, I guess, with John Robinson, they fire Vrabel, and Rand Carthen is in charge. So he hires Brian Callahan. Then they fire Rand Carthen and hire the new GM, Mike Borgonzi, and then they fire Brian Callahan. So at each step, incrementally, each person in the given role is worse than his predecessor, and now you're down here at 4-19 or whatever the number is over the last 1.5 seasons. The pinnacle of dysfunction. Couldn't be me.
Yeah, not us.
Not us.
Not in D.C.
Not up in here.
Not the Commanders. Don't even know what it would look like. Well said. Yeah, it's bad ownership. It's a bad ownership that's done a bad job for several years. But when you say, you know, I don't know how much better it could be. You know, they lose the first 2 weeks of the season by over 20 points. Then they lost by 21 against the Colts. Then they got shut out 26-0 to the Texans. The Cardinals had two of the, like, most fiasco, I've never seen that before, oh my God, plays in the history of the world so that they could win that game. And then they got doubled up by a one-win Raiders team, and the game wasn't that close. They're just not. It's almost like what Penn State is doing right now, where you watch them and you go, it is inexcusable that Penn State could lose as 20-point favorites in consecutive weeks. They've obviously fired James Franklin now. But in a salary cap league where everyone basically spends the same amount of money, you shouldn't be losing routinely by 15 to 20 points. And just when a game starts, have absolutely no chance. And that's kind of where we've gotten. But you're right. They brought it on themselves. I mean, they just made so many bad decisions one after another in short order here. Back to the Commanders really quickly as we get ready for Monday Night Football, Commanders and the Bears. Who's your prediction to have a huge game for Washington defensively here as we go Who Eats on Grant and Danny on game day live on the Fan?
A little bit boring, a little bit static here because he's been their best player on that side of the ball, but Dorrance Armstrong, this is his opportunity. This is my working theory. You're going to hear this kind of throughout the show today. I think when the ball actually leaves the quarterback's hand, they're doomed. I don't think they can stop anybody through the air. I think this quarterback, this offensive mind, these receivers will be open. They will catch passes, and they will torment Washington secondary. Third and longs will be converted. The way they're going to win for the rest of this year until something changes, Chris Broussard style, is like they did against the Raiders, like they did against the Chargers. They harass the quarterback. They hit him enough times. They disrupt timing enough times against beat-up bad offensive lines. They can wreak some havoc. Enter rookie, undrafted Zilch at left tackle. Subbing in. Let's go. Dorrance Armstrong time. This is his moment. He has a couple TFLs. He has a sack. He's got maybe a strip sack. Remember those? Those are allowed. You can actually take the ball away from the quarterback when you hit him from the blind side or something. They need something like that tonight to stop this offense.
I'm going to go Von Miller. I guess we're thinking the same way with an undrafted free agent. You know, Armstrong and Miller could move around. You don't really know who's going to get that matchup very often. But oftentimes what will happen is they'll actually help the guy that they don't feel good about on the left side with play calling, you know, basically with, chipping and keeping tight ends in. They run 12 personnel a lot anyway. And that means that you might go one-on-one on the other side. Von Miller has a sack in three of his last four games, at least half of a sack. And he's coming off of a 1.5 sack performance that probably should have been 2 sacks against the Chargers. So he's starting to heat up. I'm talking about 2.5 sacks over the last 3 contests for him, hitting the quarterback 3 times over 3 games, 4 times over 4 games, 5 times this season. he'll be the guy that I pick. I'd also like to see Frankie Louvu, who's been elevating his game and slowly getting into last year's form. Danny, I was watching Bears Commanders from a year ago on Saturday. What a great game, by the way. I forgot how good the defense played in that game. The Bears basically didn't score a point until almost the fourth quarter.
That's right.
Now, they had the lead. Everyone forgets, you know, how dominant everything was before that. Washington was up 9-0 because it was a field goal fest. And then they scored a touchdown. They got taken back by an eligible man downfield on Sam Cosmi on like a screen to Olamide Zaccheaus. So it would have been 16-0, I think, in the third quarter, and the game would have been put away. But instead, they needed the Hail Mary to win. But I bring this up to say, watching that game, Danny, Frankie Louvu was a different person than he's been this year. He was so good. He was everywhere. He was fast. He was physical. He was just, he looked like a DPOY. I mean, they couldn't stop gushing about him on the telecast. And I remember being smitten and in love with the guy all of last season. But that number four is not the guy, even when he's played well, and I think he's really improved his game with each contest, and he's really getting back to that. But I'm reminded when I watch that Bears game, they're in the black uniforms. Wasn't a night game, but it was an evening game that became night as it went on. Like, he was so damn good. I'd like to see him, whatever that was that you had that night, that magic, let's find that again. Because he was incredible defensively last year.
That's a good pull. Yeah, I mean, I think of someone as athletic as Caleb Williams is. We don't think of him the way that you think of a Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson, and you probably shouldn't, but he can move around, man. He is a pain in the butt, off platform, off schedule, and so on. And to me, that's when you need that the guy that can run a little bit, right? It's not just the big bruising, center pushing, kind of Deron Payne type pressure. You need a little bit of that Frankie Louvu to kind of, you know, prevent him from leaving the pocket, or if he does, chase him down and harass. I'm with you on that one. That's an opportunity for him tonight.
He's Danny Ruye. I'm Grant Paulson. You are listening to The Fan. It is a game day Monday ahead of Monday Night Football. We'll take you up to 6:30. Jay Gruden's on the show at 5. We are giving away Caps tickets ahead of the Beltway Blitz right at 4 o'clock today. Next, though, on G&D, let's hit some of the big NFL headlines coming out of Week 6 Sunday in the National Football League. We're Grant and Danny.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Fake it to Dowdle. Young's got a shuffle. Steps up, throws. Wide open man is Dowdle. And he's going to take it to the end zone against his former team. Touchdown, Carolina. And the Panthers lead. Monday Night Football tonight for the Commanders and the Bears. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, live on 106.7 The Fan, all over the DMV. We'll be joined by Richmond for the next 3 hours, coming up at the top of the hour. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app, wherever you are, coast to coast. You can watch us in high definition on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page as well. Danny, why don't we go through some of the headlines out of the weekend in the NFL rapid fire here before we get back into the Commanders and the Bears, dive into some matchups and really X and O this game a little bit coming up at 3. I want to start with Baker Mayfield. The Bucs get a big 13-point win over the Niners yesterday. Tampa's one of the best teams in the NFC, a front-runner in the South. And Baker's playing like an MVP. 3 years, three different coordinators and play callers, and he just keeps ascending. He was 17 of 23 for 256 and a pair of touchdowns yesterday. Ended up continuing his early season surge, and he did it without his top four receivers and his top running back at points of that game yesterday. He's on pace for 4,300 passing yards. He's got 12 touchdowns and a pick. He's been great.
It was that run. It's been multiple scrambles. I mean, he is dead in the pocket in two different players' hands at one point. Somehow spins out of there because he's built like a brick house. I mean, you know, the there are advantages to being, I guess, a little bit undersized in terms of height. When you're, I mean, he is strong. He looks like Maurice Jones-Drew playing quarterback at times. Bounces off, scrambles, dives forward, reaches out for a first down on a massive third down that they had to have in what ended up being one of the game-winning moments. I mean, it seems like he does one of those, are you bleeping kidding me, Baker Mayfield, things per week, whether it's some touch throws down the field. He's without, I think, every receiver that's ever played for them at one point yesterday with the Buka going down. Still incredible. I mean, he right now to me is the MVP, and I never thought I would say that.
Yeah, he is at this moment probably got to be the front runner. Speaking of doing a lot with a little, how good has Drake May been? Budding star for the Patriots. Yesterday, 18 of 26 for 261, threw three touchdowns, had another long touchdown called back. In fact, two plays of over 100 yards, and both of them I thought maybe were bad calls that resulted in him losing what would have been a 350-yard, four- or five-touchdown game. He ends up, though, ending that day with 10 touchdowns, two interceptions, and all the scrambling he does on a 4,300-yard pace for 4-2 New England. They got them one under Mike Vrabel.
They do indeed. And again, it's nothing special at wideout. Stephon Diggs is not the Stephon Diggs of a couple years ago, unless he's playing Buffalo, in which case he's the best receiver on the planet. But other than that,
Keyshawn Booty yesterday was the guy the offense went through. He caught two touchdowns.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
I have no idea. There's enough sample where I go, I know that guy's not Ja'Marr Chase, right? I haven't updated my file just yet. Maybe I'll have to. But May looks the part. I mean, there were several moments where New Orleans was getting after him a little bit, right? Where, for whatever reason, they were able to put some pressure. He's flushed. He's still making those heady, I'm under control. If I've got to scramble, I'll scramble, but I'll make some of those plays when things kind of break down, which is what I care about the most. I think in structure, a lot of guys can make that 1-2-3 pat the football throw. He's doing a little bit of everything right now for a 4-2 frisky Patriots team that's feeling themselves.
Last one would be the Chiefs, who look like they're back from the dead. Perhaps their demise was exaggerated. They played on Sunday Night Football. They beat a good Lions team, and they honestly got some style points while doing it. They looked convincingly better than Detroit at home last night. Mahomes throws for 250 and three scores. I've been saying Travis Kelce's washed. He's certainly not the same, but he looked like his old self parts of last night, 6 for 78 through the air. And don't look now, but Rashee Rice
on
is coming back.
Yep.
Hollywood Brown, couple of touchdowns. So just in time for the Commanders to go to Arrowhead for their next home game.
Thank goodness.
The Chiefs have gotten right, it appears.
It does indeed. They are tough out. Chris Jones was engaged yesterday, too. That was a huge difference.
Yeah, he's a great football player. Bad moments that have gone viral this year, but he's still a DPOY type. All right, next on Grant and Daniel, let's get back into the Commanders and the Bears. Some of the questions that will decide this game, we'll answer them live on The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.